This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
Again, to the second session of our Making Marriage Work seminar. Just quickly, I have a word of prayer. Father, we thought that since you taught us in the first part, we are grateful to you for the insights and the enlightenment you've given to us. As we go again into the second part, Lord God Almighty, please speak expressly. Let us learn and understand that which you have for us. Whatever steps, whatever measures we need to take, Father God Almighty, please teach us and give us hearts of obedience in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. So the first session, thank God for that success. Questions asked, lessons learned, insights given. Now we want to go into the second session, session two, which says, now I'm married. We've moved now from, you are God's will for me. You are not God's will for me. So now you have taken the step, you're married. What next? Dealing with issues that can arise post the nuptials, your wedding, whilst keeping the flame alive. I would like to ask if maybe Ms. Alejilo can please help us repeat the slide about the Slido. This is a platform where you can ask your questions anonymously. You don't have to put your name if you don't want to. You can just ask your questions anonymously. We've had, I think, last count, almost 20 or so questions that relate to post-marriage. So please keep the questions coming. We have about an hour, so we need to talk about this second session, and then we'll go to the question and answer. Thank you very much. And Pastor, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Shem. We thank God for what the Lord did in the first session, and we are trusting him that he will do more for us in this session, in the mighty name of Jesus. The truth of the matter is that there are always issues to be resolved in the marriage. And one very important lesson I learned, from the morning, when Baba said, it is important that we know that marriage is beautiful. Marriage is good. We shouldn't limit our understanding of what is going on in the marriage with what experiences of other people, or maybe even experiences of our parents. You know, we should completely trust in God. You know, he keep mentioning faith in God and then connection with Christ, which is the ultimate. So we should completely depend on Christ for things to work. There will always be issues. But with God on our side, with Christ being the third person in the marriage, we are assured of victory because he has won the victory for us already at the cross. So thank the Lord, and we are expectant again for what we believe that the Lord is going to do this afternoon. Now we're going into the marriage proper now, and I can see Daddy coming in. I'm not sure whether mommy is in yet.
Yeah, mommy will rest a little and come and join us.
Okay, she will come and join us because she has to be. Yeah, she has to be at the Feast of Esther. So she just came back.
You know, they did all night yesterday.
All night, yes. So just came back, so we're going to have her soon. So it gives me great pleasure again to welcome Daddy back again. You are welcome, sir. God bless you,
praise
sir.
God. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
For listening.
Amen.
Just a minute. I need to put on. So we. Father, we just thank you for this second session. We ask for help from above, that Jehovah will minister life to us. I plead with you, Lord, that you will swing into action. You will touch every home represented on this Zoom meeting. I plead with you, my Lord and my God, that there will be no hiding place. There will be no hypocrisy. There will be sincerity. There will be the willingness to walk in the counsel of the will of God. Father in heaven, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. There are many things to say, but let me limit myself to a few things. During the first session, I remember saying, marriage is for your transformation. Marriage is designed by God to make you more Christ-like, to be like Christ. So over the years, after you have been in union, you should be getting better. But if you are getting worse, something has gone wrong. So we need to understand this. Then we must also understand that marriage is intended by God to bring the best out of you. As the Lord liveth, that shall be your portion in Jesus' name. Hebrews 13, the Bible says, marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I would like to counsel you as a marriage, as a married couple, please bequeath honor on your marriage. The Bible says marriage is honorable, but you may choose not to make it honorable. So, but give honor to your marriage by honoring your spouse and vice versa. That's what it means. You see, because it's one thing to say marriage is honorable. It's another thing to handle it with honor. If your marriage is honorable, you will not subject it or make it a subset of another marriage. You will guard it. You'll be careful. You will give attention to it perfectly. And the Almighty God will perfect all that pertains to you in Jesus' name. Let me start by saying this. Well, there is because the time is short, I will have combined two things, and that will be communication in marriage. Because maybe if I can just pick that a little, then I will then talk on love. On love. But I just want to say this to everyone in the house, that communication is very vital in marriage. And when communication is missing, a lot of things go wrong. We need to understand the basic precepts of marriage. Then the key decisions we have to make. How we need to communicate with care. How we need to give the gift of attention. How we need to open to constructive correction. How we need to learn to resolve conflicts as soon as possible. Communication entails sharing feelings, not judgments. It includes never humiliating your spouse in the public. It includes admitting it when you make mistakes. Another important is to build up your spouse verbally. You build up. If your spouse is an introvert, if you entail or engage good communication, you can bring her out. And I think I want to testify to that. When we got married, my wife was not the talking type. And I didn't want a wife of old cloth for me. No. I wanted a wife that not be seen alone, but can be heard. But today, to the glory of God, my wife is the talking type. Because it has to bubble among both of us. So there's so much you can do through communication, through perfect love, and you can help your spouse up. Then you also need to learn the art of choosing the best time to settle issues. It's the best time. Now, darling, we are quarrel. Let's finish it now. I want it now. If you don't answer now, that will be the end, though. No, that's not good. Then there's a need to give yourselves or give and get regular feedback. Darling, how do you feel? What do you observe about me? Have I changed? Am I better? Are you happy with me? Are you enjoying me? We also need to receive help from above, words of wisdom. The Almighty God, the Bible in our hands is a compilation of wisdom from God. It's God's wisdom back. As we draw close to the word, we will see God really go all the way to help us. Praise God. Let me, like I said, I want to spend maybe about 10 or 15 minutes to just look at this. Then we'll go to love. When we talk about communication, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place, when in reality it never took place. Let me define communication briefly. It is the tool we have been given to share our thoughts, our concerns, and dreams in an unselfish manner with our loved ones. It is the lifeline of any relationship. It's also the bridge that connects your heart to the heart of your loved one. So what it means is when there's no communication, there's no link. When there's no communication, you're not careful about the concerns and dreams of your spouse. And that's not God's intention. Praise God. So a good communication, therefore, seeks to build, to uplift, and to empower your partner. So if in your communication, the words you speak constantly builds and raises the self-esteem of your spouse, then you are doing well. That's good communication. That means you are communicating well. And if, on the other hand, is to demean, is to push down, I want her to know that she's nothing, then you are not communicating well. And the result of it will never be positive or negative. So we need to always learn. Let me also add one or two things. Communication is not so much of what is said. It is also so much of what is not said. Because so many people, you hear brr, 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 brr. No. There are some things not said. There are some things that are by the tone of the voice, by gesticulation, by certain that is something. And it's important in communication we learn this. Praise the Lord. So another important ingredient in communication is to learn the art of listening. The art of listening. And it's so vital we understand this, because even in creation, God has made it. He says we should be ready, slow to speak, you know. And we are more to hear than speaking. That's why you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. So your ratio, hearing and speaking, should be 1 to 2. But I'm sure you agree with me. It is, our speaking is 10 times hearing. So for us to have good communication, we have to learn. Amen? To learn to listen. Praise God. So that's very important. So you have to learn how to hear what was not spoken. You have to learn to understand what was spoken. You have to learn to act on what was spoken, to understand it. So you are talking, you are listening, you are understanding, and you are act. So good communication covers talking, listening, understanding, and acting on what was communicated. Let me also say this in communication. There are occasions you think you know what the person is saying, or you think what you have said was hurt. It's important to say, darling, what did I say? And vice versa. And if the interpretation or the record of your spouse is contrary to what you said, then you can correct it. Don't assume the person understood or heard you correctly. Praise God. So this is very, very important. Let me also say this: communication is not an, it's not a science, it's an art. And communication is an art by virtue of it comes as a result of your upbringing, your training, your conditions, your personality, your circumstances, and then your language comprehension. There was a time we had a house help from a state in Nigeria. She understands Yoruba, not so much English. But I want you to understand what happens is whenever we are speaking, the girl has to carry it to her own language and try to bring it back to be able to communicate in the vernacular which she understands slightly. If you don't understand this issue, the tendency is to say, you are too slow, you are too slow, you are not hearing me. But she has to first translate it and then find words to bring it to what we understand. So it's an art. Upbringing, training, condition, personality, etc. They call me name to form the way you communicate. And no two people are the same. No two people. And that's why we find difficulty in people understanding themselves. We have to give it and let's understand it that in reality, we are not the same. Our upbringing not the same. Our profession not the same. I hope you know, if you're a lawyer, you will know how to talk. If you don't know how to talk, you're not a lawyer. If you now want your spouse, who is probably even not a teacher now, no, probably a scientist, to talk like you, it may never work. So we have to understand this. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, anybody who doesn't offend the words, the same is a perfect man. So part of what we have to bring up in our relationship is to learn not to offend. There is take one, fall down kind of message or comment or words that can flow from the mouth. There are words that can raise blood pressure. Let's avoid it. Now, you want to injure the other party. So we need to understand this. I'm just trying to pick. Constant communication leads to severe consequences. Now, what I mean by that is this. If it is the negative, the consequences will be negative. The Bible even says in the multitude of words, there is what they are wanted not seen. We have to be very careful and let's be positive in our communication because negative communication ruins. I will mention some things you need to decide so that you can reduce unhealthy communication in your marriage. Just jot them down. Number one, decide to communicate with care. James 1, 19 to 20 tells us that. That's why I say be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Your anger can never make things right in God's sight. So communicate with care. Some people say, I like to tell the truth. But the Bible says, speak the truth in love. The bigger your truth, the more your prayers, the more the care. So it can land correctly. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 17:27, looking at the Holman translation, he says the intelligent person restrains his word. And one who keeps a cool head is a man of understanding. Proverbs 17:27, Holman translation. So it's important. Now, another man said this. The real art of conversation is not only to say the right thing in the right place, but to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment. I like to repeat this. And these are the reasons we have problems in marriages. He says, the real art of conversation is not only to say the right thing in the right place, but to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment. I'm sure you understand that. What it means in essence is your spouse has just given you a harsh word. There's this issue we say in my dialect that I'm not a child that has to go back home to receive results. But it is not every result that is needed. So you must learn how to live unsaid. At tempting moments, just keep quiet. I'll give an illustration. A couple were married. This must be 20-something years. The man was, he's still a pastor, married to the wife. And then they had it very rough. And they will have such statements as, well, I regret marrying you. And the other party will answer and say, in your own lineage, has anybody prospered? And very heavy words. Today, to the glory of God, they are still in the ministerial something. God has used us to reach them in one way or the other. And they are better. They are still standing. It doesn't matter what is the problem in your marriage. It can still work. Once you are willing, you are personally ready to change. Forget your partner. You just take it upon yourself. So these are some words that should be left unsaid. Like telling your spouse, I regret marrying you. You remember you are the one that put yourself on me. That was the lady I wanted to marry. You know, those are words that can hurt the other party. So you are deciding that you will communicate with care. Let me quickly go to the second one. You have to communicate with care. Number two, you give your spouse the gift of your attention. When you are in communication, you are discussing. That's not when to fiddle with your phone. That's not the time to put on the television. That's not the time to send text messages. And you say, keep on, I'm hearing you. Am I not hearing with the ears? I'm using my hand only. Then you are not doing right. And those things must stop. So you decide that you will give your spouse the gift of your attention. You are attentive, you are listening. And this kind of attention is looking at your spouse in the eyes. I think Yoruba say that words are in the eyes. You know? So you are looking straight into it. Just you are giving attention. Not carrying calls, not pinging, not texting, not watching television or reading a manual. You say, yes, I'm hearing you. Go on speaking. That already speaks volume. It's also important that we are open to constructive correction or criticism. It amounts to pride if you are always right. And see, this pride that can ruin, many will not know they're in it. So nobody can correct you. You are always right. You are Mr. Right. You are Mr. Wisdom. You know, it should not be. You are open to constructive criticism or correction, because I'm just mentioning them. And then you agree to resolve conflicts as soon as possible. Your conflict should not be 24 hours. Not the sun must not set on your anger or disagreements. So you choose to solve your conflicts quickly. Then you learn to share your feelings without attacking your spouse. For example, you are killing me. You are talking rubbish. Why don't you say, darling, I feel this is telling on me. It's making me uncomfortable. Don't be judgmental. Don't push it and say, I know you are doing it deliberately. These are killers in communication. Another important one is never humiliate or demean your spouse in public. Never. At times, the devil actually wants you to, how do I put it now? Wants you to give uppercut to your spouse. I will disgrace you. But that's not the spirit of Christ. Another important thing is where you make mistakes. We are all human. Admit it. Darling, I'm sorry. I think that was wrong. I should not have said that. I'm sorry I said it. And that, this is humility. It's beyond what we think. Some people have it in mind that I married you, so I can do what I like with you. But that's not the will of God. So you make up your mind to set your heart to be in this way. You admit it when you make mistakes. Then you look for ways to build up your spouse verbally. You build out verbally. Words are like containers. We use them to convey ideas, thoughts, and requests. But words do much more than that. They impact life-changing values, virtues, graces, gifts, and abilities that cannot always be quantified. As the way you speak, you are building your spouse by those verbal words. May God give us understanding. Then choose the best time to settle major irritations. Best time. Not when you are in a hurry or you are going late. You say, no, we must talk now. We must talk now. Your spouse is almost running late to work and you hold her by the jugular. You say, you can't be going up. I'm feeling pain. You won't go to work today. That's the wrong time. And then we need to learn to give and get regular feedback from our spouses. Darling, I hope what happened yesterday is clear in your mind. I hope you are forgiving me. I hope your heart is clear now. I hope you are happy. Such things are very, very important. Praise the Lord. And with this, you just discover that your marriage will gain divine ascendancy. As the Lord liveth, you will make it in Jesus' name. Now, let's move to another subject. I've talked about communication, and I'm going to be looking at another aspect of communication. Now, when couples get engaged, their love is hot, especially when you keep yourself pure. You are looking forward to that day to consummate your love. You are falling in love. I think that's what they say, falling in love. The love is very hot, very hot. And it's like, oh, my wife can't just miss it. There's nothing she does I can't accept. There's nothing she does that can go wrong. I'm very happy. I love her. And you look forward to excellent relationship together. And so many people, first 1-2 years, and let me say this statistically, this falling in love doesn't have capacity beyond about 2 years. If nothing is done right after that, everything keeps coming down. That's why at times you ask yourself, when we're cautious, everything was fine. When we started this marriage before, everything was glowing. I thought, yes, I have found somebody I will settle with forever. I always ask myself, no couple ever had it in mind that they will fail. If not, You will not go prostrating and all these other local things that we do. You have to pick a wife. And you know, I'm sure in our tradition from our side, they will make you do the kind of ndobale you've never done in your life. And when you are doing it, you are trying to say, whatsoever it will cost me, I go for this woman. But you need to understand, something can go wrong. Let me try and synthesize it. Every human being is a love being. Everybody wants word of affirmation. Everybody wants to be loved, to be wanted, your interests, etc. Every human being. Little kids, all these things have been wired in us from birth. And then we grow, even in adulthood, it's still there. And I'd like to say this. There is no way. Now, let me put it this way. When you fall in love, the tank of your love can be full. Full. So you have capacity. Everything is working. Everything is bubbling. But don't forget, as you go on, this tank will be empty. There is no way you can use a full tank. I like to use the nation I know very well. I don't know all the cities in the UK. You can't use a full tank of your vehicle to move from Lagos to Maiduguri. You will fill the tank along the way. So the problem in many marriages, we started well. And then you know, we begin to say such things as, now that she has become an RN, she's now a certified nurse. Now that he's making money, now that this and that, he has now grown wings. But the truth of it is, nothing was done to fill back your love tank. And many times in marriage, we don't even know. And you know what? You can do so much you know to do to us, but you are not reaching her at all. You are not communicating to her in the language she understands. And this is the core. This is where it fails. You see a man, very hardworking, very astute, bringing in so much money, but the wife is still complaining. And then you begin to wonder, what else do you want? I'm working my life out. I'm so making all the needs met. The truth is that your hard work is not the love language of your wife. It's not what she wants. It's not what she's looking for. It's not the language. Let me put it this way now. If you start speaking, is it Mandarin or so, of the Chinese, to a person who only understands Yoruba, what will happen? It's not going to hear you. It's not going to understand you. And that's why when we are talking about love, therefore, it's important that every one of us must understand this. After your wedding, your tank will be what? Reducing. Through circumstances, situations, etc. That bubbling is not designed to be forever, except you are doing the right thing. Except you are communicating in love with one another. When that is not so, I can assure you, that's when there is grumbling. And I like to look at the love languages. This is important that we get it very clear that we have to learn to keep our tank full. Your love tank must be full. You have to keep, and the way it gets full is when you are speaking the language. You know, every one of us, we have what we call primary language, which is our dialect, our mother tongue, which is natural to pick up. But you will now begin to speak general language, which is your secondary language. If you are using your dialect to speak to maybe an Englishman, you are using your dialect. It's going to be, you are speaking in tongues. It's useless. So I want us to get that very clear. So it is when you are speaking the love language of your spouse that you are feeling the tank of her love. That's why she feels on top of the world. That's why you wonder at times, with all I've been doing, this man doesn't seem to care. He's not touching him or he's not touching her. So what is important? Yes. I welcome my wife to sit by me. I think she's put your hands together for my wife.
Yeah, welcome, man. God bless you, man. Yes.
That's the wife of my 37 years. Amen. The only one I have, the only one I've ever have. Praise the Lord. So that tank must constantly seek to be filled. When the tank is being filled, I assure you, everything will go well. So I like to, because we don't have all the time, I don't think we have up to 30 minutes anymore. We must transcend. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Okay, thank you. So we must leave the stage of falling in love. We must grow and make sure our love tank is being filled. And they can only be filled by the love languages that we are speaking. What I'm speaking to my wife must be what she's hearing. If you live as husband and wife, you marry a white woman, and you are speaking Jesha dialect, and she has not gone to learn that, I'm sure you know you live as what? As tenants, as strangers. And that's part of the problem in marriages. You are not reaching your spouse at all, even though you are doing your best. So the first key thing is to learn the love language of your wife. What can I do that will spring her love, that will make her to feel accepted, to feel happy? These are the things. And it has been discovered there are five. Yeah, and vice versa. It has been discovered that there are five key love languages. Each of them has various dialects. I put it this way. We have Yoruba language. There's the general Yoruba language. You have Ekiti. You have what's it called? Ijebu. You have Ijesha. Those are dialects. So within that same ethnic group, you have various, you know. So take note, there is the word of affirmation, is the first one. And whenever you are using the wrong love language, no matter how much you try, your spouse will never commend you, will never be satisfied. So you have to learn the love language of your spouse. May I put it this way? Even parents should learn the love language of their children. You know, some of our children, they know every day, every bad day. They just want bad days. They want gifts. You have to learn it. If I can, I might bring a testimony from our own family. Praise the Lord. So, word of affirmation. That is a love language. Some of those words are, darling, I just appreciate the way you are giving to this family. The way you are astute in making sure we are well. Change to another network. That yes. Other one was misbehaving, so I changed to another. Sorry. That is due to breaking transmission. Yes. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, those are issues, vital. Word of affirmation. Your wife dresses up. Darling, you look gorgeous. You are fantastic. For us men, I don't know men that say, darling, I hope I'm well dressed. Hardly. 80% of men, I hope my tie is standing well. We don't seem to so care. But women, we never, even when you say, darling, this is beautiful, she's going to move and come back again and repeat the same thing. It's your duty to make her world. Darling, you look good. It's like every dress fits you. Amen? Words of affirmation. You look sharp in that suit. If you know men too, there are some men. They want you to affirm. Words of affirmation is their love language. The more you say it, the more you are driving them, you know, they can go to any length. Because the tank, you are filling the tank by such issues. Praise God. So it's important, the words of affirmation, when you do so regularly, a lot of things go right. Now let me now say this. Words of affirmation. Then we have the dialects, encouraging words, giving verbal compliments. It's only one way to express words of affirmation to your spouse. Another dialect is encouraging words. Darling, I assure you it's going to be well. It looks as if everything is shaky, it's going to come out fine. I assure you, this person will not be able to pull a wool over you. And that means you are encouraging her. Amen? And you are making that individual feel good. So you are inspiring courage. You are making that individual feel good. And that goes a long way to help to fill the tank of that individual. Praise God. Your spouse feels insecure. And what you can say, darling, as long as I'm alive, nobody will be able to shake you. I assure you, I'm there for you. That's words of affirmation, encouragement. And then that individual is able to go. You know, there are occasions your spouse is talking. It's not actually what she's looking for. It's just to be encouraged that it's going to be well. Your spouse comes and says, this is what somebody is doing to me at work. They say, okay, go back there and say this and say this and say that. And then she comes back and she didn't say so. And then you say, go and say it. Then the third day, you come again. Then by the fourth day, he says, don't talk to me about it again. All that spouse might be looking for, you just say, darling, it is well. Just calm down. It will be well. I want to encourage you. You are above that level. God is going to give you victory over this. I give you a testimony. And such words go a long way. Many years ago, my wife was working international school, UI. She was a teacher. She was doing quite well. But she had an immediate boss. Happened to be a born-again Christian. But was just troubling and torturing my wife. And she will come. She will complain. She will come. She will complain. And I've been telling her, stand up to her. Stand up to her. Then one day, I just said, darling, I'm going to come to your school. I want to deal with this issue. Now, it's so encouraging that you care about your spouse to the point if you have to fight for her, you will fight for her. And I remember going to that school. I mean, I'm well known by all the people there as a man of God who had been for decades. Then I had to accost this woman. I had to tell it to people, stop disturbing my wife. Let her be. And you know, that single step that day put pay to everything. Your spouse will find joy. It's not, she comes and says, hey, you know, I told you that your tongue is very sharp. You know, I told you that you are this, you are that. By so doing, you are drowning that woman and draining that woman. And vice versa. The wife can say it to the husband. You think everybody can get, can tolerate what you give to me. You have seen now that what you do at home is very bad. That's why they are dealing with you over there. That's not the word that is needed. There must be words of encouragement. Encouragement requires empathy.
Yes, you are your camera is off, sir. I don't know if you are aware.
I don't know why. Oh, okay. Why is it off?
I don't know.
Because...
I mean, the network continues.
It's on now. Mm-hmm. Just a minute.
Maybe if you switch it off and back on again. Okay. It's on now.
I think it's back. Thank you. I think the other time it went off. So, you empathize with your spouse. You are in a world. You are seeing it as she's seen it. Not, you know, I've told you, if you don't take lesson at home, you will get it from outside. You are just getting your lesson. You are draining that woman's love. You are draining it. Amen. Such words as I know, I'm with you. That makes your spouse feel that you care. Darling, how can I help you in this situation? What can I do? What do you want from me? How can I change the tide? It goes a long way. Amen. So that's one dialect. Another dialect is kind words. The Bible says love is kind. So if we are to communicate love verbally, we must use kind words. That has to do with the way we speak. When we say kind words, it's not, let me do it, Daddy, let me do it. I'm in a hurry. Kind words are never with shouting. Darling, I'm sorry. Darling, I love you. Darling, I'm with you, etc. Kind words. This goes a long way. There are words of tenderness that makes the day of your spouse. Amen? So, because of time, I'm trying to just run through. Another one is humble words. Humble words. Not words of pride. Not authoritative, no gurgitating words. The way you are speaking in humility. Amen? When you speak authoritatively, you make your spouse like a child. You are the boss. You are the father. You are in charge. Words like, darling, if you don't mind, could you help me do this? It's not, do that thing before I come from work. So you are, as it were, demeaning your spouse, making her look low while you are on top. You are the top. And it can happen. Women do it. Men do it. So humble words that will develop intimate relationship. Our desires must not be pushed on the other party. We are to just request, darling, I will be happy if you could go with me. Darling, I'll be happy if you could just help do this. Those are humble words, and they are very, very important. Praise the Lord. And the Ancient of Days will help us in Jesus' name. So that's the first language, words of affirmation. The steps your wife takes, you affirm it. Darling, this is beautiful. Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, the way you handle that case shows you are brilliant. Words of affirmation. So then the self-esteem of your spouse is built. This is what God expects from us. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you should, let me put it this way now. Couples must look out for those good things your spouse do or does. Write that down. Your spouse is aggressive at work, very good, earns money, very is a good financial manager. He's always thinking ways to improve his productivity. He studied to get to higher grants. Affirm it. Write down those things. He's generous with finances. And keep letting your spouse know. And then the same thing men should do for wives. Oh, she keeps the house clean. It's not automatic. She helps the kids with their homework. She's really a keeper at home. You should appreciate that. She cooks dinner about 3 days a week, almost every day. She teaches first grade Sunday school students. Something that are good, let's say it. That goes a long way to turn. So words of affirmation is to remind yourself that words of affirmation is your spouse's primary love language. When you find it so, then try and write down, itemize the areas where you'll be giving those words. Learn to say, I love you. Give compliments to your spouse. And especially even before our family, before the mom, before the dad, darling, or maybe even when she's not there, here. You tell the mom, mom, this your daughter is well packaged. This is made from heaven. I'm so glad you gave me this woman. Thank you for all your labor on her. She's well brought up. She has good etiquette. She's committed. She's dedicated. She's an excellent cook. And then she gets to hear that from the parents. Oh, you have made the day. You have filled that tank. You have added more fuel. Praise the Lord. You look out for your spouse's strength. And then you commend and appreciate. You give your spouse on a weekly basis words of affirmation. Hallelujah. You write notes to her. And then it could be a text, it could be an email. Then you thank your mate for whatsoever. You thank your partner for what they routinely do. Hallelujah. That is the first, very quickly, we mentioned three. Let me go to number two. I'm not sure within the time we have that we shall be able to cover all. Because I think we have a few minutes for it to be 3:30.
Sir, but we have to pick one more. It's 2:30 here.
Huh?
It's 2:30 here. It's going to 2:30
here. When am I supposed? Oh, okay. How long? How many more minutes?
We still have about 2 hours to go, sir.
Oh, for me to still speak?
No, we answer questions as well. You know, because...
let me know how long I can, when I'm to stop.
Yeah.
I can speak for 2 hours. But maybe another 45 minutes or 30 minutes.
Yes. Yes, you have to stop around... maybe in another 40 minutes, sir. Then we go into question and answer.
40 minutes means when? It means around 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock Nigerian time, yes, sir.
4 o'clock Nigerian time.
That'll be 3 p.m. Yeah, yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Yeah, very good. So the next one is quality time. The person whose love language is words of affirmation is not the same with quality time. What I'm saying in essence is this. If somebody's love language is quality time and you spend all your life giving him words of affirmation, you will never feel a tank or his tank. Amen? Very important. So we have what we call quality time. This is what some people look for. I give you an illustration. A man, very rich, very astute, very hardworking. His diary was always full. So one day the wife picked the diary and saw to be with this, to be. So she canceled one of the appointments and said, appointment with wife. The husband saw it. He was slightly angry, just wrote back and put the right thing there. The wife saw it again, canceled it again, appointment with wife. Then the man got angry and challenged the wife. What else do you want? I married you. I'm giving you those who will work for you. You have a driver, you have cars, you have food, everything. This place is softly furnished. I supply money. The woman said, I married you. I did not marry your furniture or your money. Such are people who say, I need time with my spouse. What that woman was writing in that diary is, put appointment with wife among your various duty schedules. So this is important. When an individual's love language is quality time, your money is irrelevant. Your money is not just the main thing. By quality time, we mean you give somebody your undivided attention. It doesn't mean sitting down with your spouse and watching the television or reading a magazine. No. It's when you just say, darling, so how was the day? How are you doing? What do you feel? Let me give this as our own testimony. When we started marriage, she would go to work, I would go to work. By the time we come back in the evening, the first question is, how was the day? And then I would be listening, attentive. She would download for me all that happened, and I would download for her You see, that's why the Holy Spirit can lead. I've never been married before. I didn't come before. This is my only first marriage. But the Holy Spirit was just leading me. And we built on that to the point we became friends. So it was an automatic phenomenon. Once she's back from work, darling, you are welcome. How was it? How did you go today? She would download whatsoever was her pain, her joy, the thing that excites her, and then I will give my own. If I need to address any issue that day, I will address. And by it, we were drawing closer and closer. Don't let your communication be talking about ameboism, what is happening in another family, what happened in church today. Let there be ability to get to the heart of your spouse and vice versa. Praise God. You are sitting down. Everything is off. You are just giving attention to that spouse. It means you are taking a walk. Just the two of you. You are going out to eat. And you are looking at each other and you are talking. That's quality time. And such hours are so vital. Just 30 minutes, 1 hour with a spouse can heal the wounds of 1 year. Amen? So it must be the right kind of time. You could be going to a restaurant that you can afford. It doesn't have to be costly. Just being there, being available. Now, when you run through scriptures, 1 Corinthians 7 tells us, Paul was writing. He said, he that is single, careth only how he will please God. But he that is married, careth on how he will please God and his spouse. You owe your spouse a responsibility in that regard. Amen? Not to just keep on, you are so busy. Please hear me. If you are so busy that you don't have time for your spouse, then you don't actually need to marry. You can become a eunuch for God by yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is important. So we need to understand this. That is creating time for your spouse. Quality time. You come from work. You sit down, discuss. You spend time talking with the children about their school experience. You spend time playing games with your spouse. You sit, you discuss, you pray together, you chat together. You are just listening. You take a vacation with the family. You go walking with your spouse. That becomes something else. Then this a dialect is focused attention. Focused attention. It is possible to be in the same room, but you are not together. What we are saying is you focus on your spouse. Quality time is giving them focused attention, especially in the area of, in this era of many distractions. Amen? Focused attention. You know, where a father is really on the floor with the children, that's focused attention. Where you are tinkling your wife, you are having, you know, as if you are playing game. That means every other thing is off. Office is off. Ministerial assignment is off. But you are not available for that spouse. It goes a long way. That is what is called focused attention. Now, when you are, it could be tossing ball together, but it's not the ball. It is just, you are just trying to focus on your spouse. You are looking in a very romantic way. You are smiling. You are giggling and so many other things. Quality, focused attention. Praise the Lord. That's important for you. That's another dialect. Another one is quality conversation. Like the words of affirmation, the language of quality time also has many dialects. One of them is that of quality conversation, not just something on the surface. You know, we men most times don't like to listen much. Yeah, darling, say all you want to say. You know, say all you want to say. Quick. But that cannot solve it. Quality conversation. And you listen. You have sympathetic dialogue where you are able to share your experiences, your thoughts, your feelings, your desires in a friendly, uninterrupted context. And I'd like to challenge every couple here. When last did this happen? You know, in our contemporary time where everything is regimented, house, work, come back, fellowship, come, go, you know, we have to create this where we listen, we talk on issues deeply. And I like to say this, we do so much of that. I mean, currently there's an issue going on. While she was in the camp, we tried to talk. Since she came, we attempted, but because of this meeting, we couldn't, you know. So, and definitely we are still going to go back again to synthesize this issue with dialogue. We feel each person's way of looking at it. What are we to do as a family? You know, it's very, very important. Amen. So quality conversation is quite different from the first love language, words of affirmation. It's not the same. I hope we're able to see the distinction. This is not affirmation. This is listening. This is digging into issues. This is not being in a hurry. And at times, you are digging on an issue. You are still together talking on that issue for 3 days. And you are feeling the way your spouse feels. You know? Quality conversations focuses on what you are hearing. Amen? Not what you are trying to say. What you are hearing becomes a focus. You are giving time to hear your spouse out. And that in itself goes a long way to help. Praise the Lord. So that's the second dialogue. And then the third dialogue is learning to talk. Well, maybe before I say that, let me just tell us a few things that will help us in quality conversation. Maintain eye contact with your spouse when you are talking. That keeps your mind from wandering. It enables you to communicate and let her know that he or she has your full attention. Number two, don't listen to your spouse and do something else at the same time. Quality time is giving someone your undivided attention. Another point, listen for feelings. Listen for feelings. Ask yourself, what emotion is my spouse experiencing? When you think you have the answer, confirm it. For example, it sounds to me like you are feeling disappointed that I forgot that issue. And then you say, yes. That means you already can feel. Then observe body language. No, you know, somebody can be grinning like this. When the person is talking, something is walking inside. Somebody is talking, clenched fists. The hands are shaking. Then tears are flowing. You can know that. That's something emotional. It can get to the point where you have to move there and pat her and draw close and hold her so as to at least drown that issue. And then you have to learn to not interrupt. You refuse to interrupt. We are told by research that the average individual listens for only 17 seconds before interrupting or interjecting the other's idea. But when somebody gives you undivided attention, it shows that person is having quality conversation. Praise the Lord. The quality conversation, another dialect is learning to talk. It requires not only sympathetic listening, but also self-revelation. When your wife says, so I wish my husband would talk. I never know what he thinks or he feels. What your spouse is crying for is intimacy. Ability to know what's inside you goes a long way. I like to say to you, especially for us men, whatsoever God has given you to do, if you keep it inside your heart, your helpmate can never be of help. So we have to learn the art of learning to talk. I gave you the testimony of my wife, thank God she's here now. When this marriage started, she was not, you know, the very deep talking type. She would just be quiet. Something happens between her and somebody. And I said, darling, what did you say? He said, I never said anything. I never said anything. Why didn't you say something? You see, the truth is, she's different from me. You know, but as time went on, as we kept evolving, and I got involved in her life and vice versa, today, my wife talks, you know, tremendously. So we have to get this fact very clear. Amen? So that we will be the best that God wants us to be. So when your wife says, so I wish you would talk. So it's calling for intimacy. Wants to feel close to you. How can she feel close to you when you are never talking? So learn to talk, praise God. And then self-revelation does not come easy for someone. You have to grow, you have to pray, you have to learn, you request. I mean, you become encouraged in a sequential way for self-revelation. You get to know that, this is what this woman is going through. We must be touched by the feelings of the infirmity of our spouse, both husband and wife. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's also important, something that I need to. In our marriage, we must avoid, there are two different types of character in talking. Some are like Dead Sea, while the other is like a babbling brook. You know, when you have a babbling brook, you have no dull moments from morning till night. Dead Sea, no talking, no comment. No matter what you say, there's the need to balance the art and let both not be in any of this extreme. Praise God. So there's that extreme where you are Dead Sea. You are only receiving, you hear, but no comment, no emotions, no response. And then the other one is the babbling brook. Always, that's the kind of whatsoever I see, the mouth will speak. All is use. So there must be care. Because if husband and wife are in these two extremes, that family will not work out perfectly. You have to learn to blend. And then another one is quality activities. Apart from this basic love language of quality time, or giving your spouse undivided attention, another dialect is quality activities. That's talking about creating time for activities, for seminar. Going out together, going to the restaurant. For example, a wife says, so I feel most loved. Or a man says, I feel most loved when my wife and I do things together. So that's important. Doing things together, that's action together. For example, for my wife and myself, my wife loves it that herself and myself pray together. She's a very deep intercessor, and by the grace of God, I pray also. But she loves it that we come together on all issues. It's a thing she craves for. She wants it constantly, and that is what he says. It's not that you are doing your own thing, she's doing her own thing. You know that your spouse loves something. You are not giving action to it. So quality activities will include anything in which one or both of you have interest. There are occasions also where it could be the man will only get involved in what he likes. Or the wife will suggest only what she likes. And hell will be let loose if it's not done. There must be common interest. And a good marriage even expects that husband and wife must meet at a point. Or if I love watching football, my wife will learn how to sit by me. And vice versa. So quality activities may include putting in a garden, visiting historic sites, going to a concert, walking out together, having another couple over for homemade soup and bread. Those are activities, so many things. So you can make your your marriage fun. When you do so, you are expressing togetherness, love of togetherness. And that is a way by which somebody else's tank is filled. Praise the Lord. If you do otherwise, the tank of your spouse will be empty. Let me go to the third one within the time I have. The third one is receiving gifts. The third one is receiving gifts. This is a very, very important, very vital. That's another love language. No matter what you do to a spouse, to some spouse, whose love language is gifts, it would look as if nothing has been done. I may share the testimony. Our last born is a man. From a little boy, oh my goodness, he knows the body of everybody. And no matter what, he's going to look for, what do we call it? For a present, for something, no matter how little. And I can assure you, no matter what you do, when he has ceremony, gift is so vital to her. That makes her world, his world to him. So this is very, very important. That's his own love language. Gifts. It's important to get to know if that is the love language of your spouse. You learn to give gifts. Gifts don't have to be costly. Some are even free. You get a rose flower. Life. You don't have to go and buy it. Pick it and bring it, darling. That brings an effect. And it's... So, we have to understand this. When you give gifts, that goes a long way to helping. And what I mean by that is, some people will say, oh, I'm making money available for the family. Yeah, I make food available. I've just bought car. I bought dresses. But there is more to it than that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So gift is very, very, very important. You give a gift, you buy something, and then your spouse feel on top of the world. A gift is something you can hold in your hand and say, look, he was thinking of me, or she remembered me. Gift, make it clear that I'm in your thoughts. Very important. And even bad days, ceremonies, special times, some people are not giving to gift at all. You have to learn it. If that's the language, the love language of your spouse, you have to learn to give gifts. Praise the Lord. Remember the bad day? Like I said to our son, don't miss it. No matter what else, without that gift, You have not made that day. That could be your husband, that could be your wife. And we have to learn it, and we have to keep doing it. Now, gifts as visual symbols of love. I'm sure you remember in every wedding, there is an exchange of gifts. In introduction, there's an exchange of gifts. Even the ring is also an outward visible sign of an inward and spiritual bond that unites two people. It's heart touches heart when gifts are given. So if that is the language of your spouse, make sure you give it. Praise the Lord. Let me say it this way. Some people are crazy when it comes to the wedding ring. When an individual, when the spouse removes that ring and drops it, that the other party feels, it's like the marriage has crumbled. While the person doing it might not feel anything. So, virtual symbols of love are more important to some people than to others. That's why we have to study and get to know, what each person has as love language. And then gifts come in all sizes, colors, and shapes. Some are expensive and others are free. So the individual whose primary love language is receiving gifts, the cost of that gift will never matter much. It's just that reason. But however, whatsoever you give is a sign of the worth you have placed on that individual. So don't let's just relegate this issue to, it doesn't matter. What you give is a sign of the value you place on whosoever you are giving gifts to. That's why in marriage, the family of the man, they bring gifts, they buy things, and they make it worthy. You don't bring kwashoko ridi yams that are like fingers of a chimpanzee. You look for the best. That's to show that, yes, I place worth on this woman. That's not that. That's what it doesn't mean that the individual is being bought. No. But it's a mark and a sign of placing a worth. I love you. I show that, yes, you care. I care. Praise the Lord. So this is very, very important. So if the love language of your spouse is receiving gifts, you should learn how to be proficient. And it's going to go a long way to that individual. You'll be filling the love tank of that individual. Now, when you become an effective gift giver, you will discover that it will help you to divest. Some people don't know that whatsoever you are sowing or giving to that individual is an investment. It goes to create an excellent future or a deep love. It will bind you together. Praise God. So don't go on. Some people say, I want to invest. We have to buy this. We are buying shares. And so because of that, you neglect the love language of your spouse. That is not correct. Because that goes a long way. It associates with the emotion of your spouse. You have to do it. Praise the Lord. So that is that. Then another dialect is the gift of self. Gift of self, more than money, more than gifts. When you give yourself, you hold the hands of your spouse, you are moving to around. If there's anything my wife loves, is to hold her. At times she will say, you are touching me inside room, you are not touching me well enough outside. And I've had to learn all backward, forward and backward. She enjoys it. That's the gift of yourself. Now, it's not correct in marriage that you are never, you know, some people in marriage, their marriage is only bedroom marriage, only at home. They don't identify with their spouse outside, in church, on the way, anywhere. They just behave as if they are tenor. Bye-bye. But outside, when you hold, it's not a sin to hug your spouse, to give a peck, to hold a hand. When service is over, to say, darling, let us go. And take her by your side. That is the gift of yourself. Gift of self. Praise the Lord. It's going to go a long way to filling the tank of your spouse. Let me quickly go to a fourth man. And I think, I don't know. Let me not go to the fourth one. Let me just end on that one. Let nature guide you. When you take a walk, look around. What can I do that will affect my spouse? You can discover the value of handmade originals. Make a gift for your spouse. Then when money is tight, think of appropriate symbolic gifts. Keep a gift idea notebook where you are jotting. You know, you are going out, you are noting, you are taking photographs of what you think can make a difference to your spouse. Once that is the language of your spouse, become addicted. You can also enlist a personal shopper. You don't have a clue. I'm not the buying type. When we started marriage, I will always go with her. I will drive her. I will carry the heaviest of it. But as we grew up, once they want to do, go to market, whichever type, shopping, I will spoil it. So most times I don't follow them. But you can still have somebody who will educate you. Somebody who can you just get something for me? What do you think one can give to a wife on a bad day or on this ceremony? Then somebody can be a shopper for you. Then offer the gift of presence during an especially hard time in your spouse's life. Probably there are problems with the parents, and you stick to her, not just drop her, be taking care of them. Another one, give your spouse a book and agree to read it together. I'm doing summary. Then discuss together a chapter per week. That's another way. Praise the Lord. And the Almighty God will help you. I think I have 5 more minutes. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then give a lasting tribute. Give a gift to your spouse's favorite charity in honor of her birthday, of your anniversary, or on any occasion. This is important. You can ask the charity to send a card informing your spouse of what you have done. Or the church. You know, that would be exciting to her. Because it's not only giving to her, but also giving to the things that is of interest to her. That goes a long way. So let's go all out to understand the various let me mention the last two so that it will go a long way. Acts of service. Acts of service. That's where you get involved in serving your spouse. No, there are some people who are like, they are custom made. The water must not touch their hands in the kitchen. They can't afford to do ironing for their spouse. No, no service at all. If that is what, that's why at times you give money, you give everything. If you are not giving act of service, your spouse is just off. You have not made our day, or you have not made this day. That's why when somebody gives it, act of service, it goes a long way. Such things require planning, thought, effort, energy. When done in the right spirit, it's a great expression of love. Please take note of that. I think that's all. I go to the fifth one now. Praise God. Physical touch. This one is another one. I think I tried to mention that. Physical touch. This is one of my wife's major love language. She wants to be touched. Once you know that is the love language of your spouse, give it. Hold her hand. Give her or give her a peck. When she's in the kitchen, move near her. And this is important. When this is the love language of your spouse, you are not giving it, your sexual relationship will look meaningless to her. Because this is wow in our world. That touch, it's so vital. There's great power in touch. Because the five senses, when we talk about the five senses, touching, unlike other four, is not limited to one localized area of the body. Amen? So, you know what I'm saying. Smelling, hearing, they are in various regions like that. See, eyes are located. But when it comes to touch, it can be any part of the body. Holding the hand is a sign of love. Praise God. Tickling yourselves or tickling your spouse goes a long way. And I like to say that the body is for touching. So get that. Whatever there is of me resides in my body. So when you touch my body, then you are touching me. So for those who have that as their love language, you have to learn it. Don't say, I can just be touching. We should be more serious minded. Let's be spiritual, etc. No, it is not right. So when you touch my body, then you are touching me. You are reaching me. You know, I hope you understand why those, especially women that whose love language is touch. When you now get to the bedroom and you are now touching them, they say this is nonsense. They wonder why you don't associate with them outside, why you don't touch them outside. Then in the night, you are coming here. May God give us understanding and give us the grace to do the right thing in the name of Jesus. This is vital. Even in a sexual relationship, touch is vital. Very important. Because foreplay is also by touch. So I will encourage each one of us to understand this. Goes a long way. Touch is also vital in crisis. Where you hold your spouse, you can drain emotion, tension, all the other issues. So there are, in life, there are disappointments, there are crises, there are issues. If your spouse's primary love language is physical touch, nothing is more important than holding her as she cries. And you see, I like to say this to you as a spouse. When your wife, your spouse cries, well, I know some men cry too. I know women cry more. And it doesn't touch you, something has gone wrong. There's no connection. It's a sign that, I don't know, I don't want to say you are callous, You have lost your love for her. May God help us in Jesus' name. So, yeah, I rest my case. It's 401 or 301 in the UK. Pastor, over to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. That's really, really been enlightening. And maybe as you've been speaking, myself and my wife, we've been looking at ourselves and passing comments. Some of those things are eating close to home, as they say. And we're picking up the lessons. By the grace of God, God will help us to, you know, be able to apply these principles to our lives as we grow in our marriages in Jesus' name. Bro Alex, I guess you're still online. I think it's time for us to go into our Q&A for the second session. I think this is where most of us have been waiting for.
Yes, we are.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comments on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Mead, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208-688-466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.